Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
It's a delight just to share the Word of God with you tonight as we continue in this series of our Gospel of Luke. If you were here last week, you would have heard Robin just present a brilliant overview of the Gospel of Luke. If you didn't hear that, we've got a podcast now, so we are excited about that, and also welcome those listeners online. So tonight, my topic really centres around what I call the infancy narratives. Luke 1:5 to 2:52. It's about 122 verses right there. It's going to be a long night, so you better settle in, all right? But you'll be happy to know I'm not going to speak on all of those verses because we've just celebrated one of the most greatest events, haven't we, in Christmas, around the birth of Jesus. It's been very special, and we take that into the new year. But we're going to really center the story around Zechariah tonight. I think we can learn a lot from him in terms of his approach. What I do want to say from the outset, as we think about the infancy narratives, there's kind of two kind of infancy stories going on. We've got Jesus, right? And the other would be John the Baptist. And what happens is Luke is doing this the whole way through those first two chapters in terms of those infancy narratives. And so because there are some stories that are unique to Luke that are not recorded in the other Gospels, I just wanted to highlight those. Robin sort of mentioned some of those last week, but just quickly go through them. These are very unique to Luke. The angel appeared to Mary. Subsequently, Mary visits Elizabeth, and then there's this beautiful song of praise that Mary brings out. It's a very special song. And then in terms of the birth of Christ, we see these are unique to the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is born in a stable, the angels appear to the shepherds. And even we start to see these, these Jewish ideas or concepts where Jesus is circumcised on the eighth day. And then on the 40th day, they go into the temple to be purified, or particularly the mother in this case. And so in that particular setting, Simeon and Anna are come on the scene. Simeon is a very special man. Luke says the Holy Spirit revealed to him he would see the Messiah before his death. And he sees Jesus and he prophesies to that end. This is the Messiah. And then Anna, what a fantastic example. I call her the 24/7 prayer and faster, right, Yvonne? Just an amazing woman of faith. Prophesies over Jesus as well. And then we skip ahead right through to when Jesus is age 12. He's in the temple. Remember the story? The parents lose Jesus. They're looking for him for 3 days. Well, that just would have been really, really tough. But they find him. Where they find him is in the temple asking amazing questions, and all who saw him were amazed at him. So even at age 12, people thought Jesus was amazing and is. There you go, 122 verses, you beauty. All done, all right? But I want to really press in to talk about Zechariah tonight, because I look at Zechariah and I think he demonstrates to us the different impacts that faith can have as opposed to unbelief. When I think of Zechariah, this verse comes to mind. Hebrews 11, verse 6, which is not up there, I just remembered. This is what it says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You remember that? Without faith, trust in God, super 100% trust, it's impossible to please God. So on one hand, faith ushers in, I believe, God's blessings and purposes. And on the other, unbelief, actually, I believe, stops the flow of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about that tonight as we share in this way. And I think a good illustration of this, of the impacts of this, thinking about dams and that sort of thing. Often when we think of a dam as a catchment area, often that's for fresh water supplies. There's other means like hydropower, those sort of things. But the other side of that is that the dam can actually block the natural river flow that occurs, and from particularly receiving an abundance of streaming life. You see, more and more scientists are coming to realise and accept that there are some environmental impacts to having a dam. That's just the reality. A wall blocks fish migration, for instance, blocks the necessary sediments to get through downstream. It actually blocks the flow, so water levels become much lower and species have died, including fish, and particularly birds have disappeared from floodplains. To quote a journal by the internationalrivers.org, they state a river's flow is its heartbeat. And they go on to say that many governments and river management agencies around the world have developed policies to enable the river to naturally flow so as to mitigate environmental impacts. Can you see where I'm trying to go with this in a moment? When we think about faith versus unbelief, it's natural sometimes when faith seems too hard to exercise in the light of humanly impossibilities or human things that we cannot do, that we may begin to have doubts and begin to shrink back in unbelief. And figuratively, this forms, if you like, a dam upstream that can temporarily stop the flow of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit. Whereas remaining open to what God does by exercising trust like faith, I believe, brings a greater flow of the Holy Spirit. We see this in the Gospels. So in these stories tonight, we see Zechariah oscillates between unbelief, not accepting that God can do that, to a place where he actually exercises extraordinary faith. We're going to see that tonight. And this is what we know about Zechariah from the text, and we'll see this come up in a moment. He is a priest from an exceptional order of priests. If there's any priesthood you want to be in, he's in it. And his wife, Elizabeth, is pretty good as well. She's a daughter from the priesthood of Aaron. So they tick impeccable religious credentials in those days. What's more than that, Luke declares they were both righteous before God and walked blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. They're special people. They didn't just talk about religious stuff. They walked the talk. They knew what it meant to live right with God. But then we get an indication very early on of a major difficulty that they've had to go through. Actually, Elizabeth is barren. She's not able to have children, and they were senior in years. Now, you've got to understand, in the context of that time, that was actually a social disgrace, not to have children. And it was really difficult as they grew up. In fact, some of the Jewish people actually thought that was a sign of divine punishment in some cases. So this is the life that they had growing up. And here's my first point. Right off the bat, I just want to say God uses anyone regardless of their social standing. Hallelujah. Amen? It doesn't matter where we come from or what we've done. God still uses us. And we're about to see that in Zechariah. And so what Zechariah would travel to the temple in Jerusalem several times a year, and he got chosen by lot to go into the holy place. I've got a picture of Zechariah just come up right there. You can just see him right there. And he's in the holy place, right? Worshipping the Lord. He's probably bowed down in terms of offering prayers for the saints. And there's a beautiful picture outside in Luke that says, as he's doing this, there's the whole people of God outside were praying. That's very, very special to think about. Verse 11, we pick it up here. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. That's just a normal response. In the New Testament, Old Testament, when everyone saw an angel, that's what would happen. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Wow, that's pretty special. The angel comes to minister to the deep need that was already there in Zechariah. Hey, your prayer has been heard. We know you've been praying for a son, and it will happen. The angel goes on to speak about the child. The son is going to be John the Baptist, There'll be much rejoicing at his birth. He'll be great before the Lord. Verse 15 says he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just say he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just say it. Oh, very good. Very good. You know why? If you look at the first 14 chapters of Luke, that's the theme. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you get past chapter 14, you begin to see more of the teaching of Jesus come out. Interesting, isn't it? And it's a theme we'll see many times. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Interesting that, isn't it? Even from conception, he's saying John will be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a little interaction between Mary and Elizabeth in verse 44, where at the sound of Mary's voice already carrying the Messiah, remember the baby leaps in the womb? What a special thing to include in the gospel. Very, very tender. And verse 16-17, he says, this man or this child will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, making ready for the Lord a people prepared. As part of the gospel message is to turn people back to God and to turn people back in repentance. And therefore, it's our practice. Here's my second point. Let's keep calling people of all ages back to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, it's decision time for Zechariah. Either he can respond in faith and believe God, or he doesn't believe. It's actually the latter that he chooses from verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." What a great expression that he chose to describe his wife. That's brilliant. But he didn't have faith, did he? And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not, what? Believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their times." You ever had the tendency when looking at an impossible situation and thinking, you know, I don't know if God, I think he can do it, but I don't know if he'll do it for me. You ever think that? And unconsciously, and I've done this, we begin to place limits on what God can do, on his power. And I think, I figuratively think that puts a cork in the bottle of the Holy Spirit in terms of letting it flow. Why? Because God's pleased with faith. He's pleased with faith. And Zechariah's lack of faith and lack of belief comes under what I call the most unusual discipline of God, divine discipline, where he's not able to speak for at least 9 months. It's unusual, isn't it? We see perhaps maybe in one other place, but it's not something that we see all that often, except to say that God is still at work. You know, despite Zechariah's unbelief, this is what gives me hope. God's purposes always prevail. Even though he doesn't believe, God's going to do it anyway. Maybe Elizabeth had great faith. So let's skip ahead 9 months. John the Baptist is born, keeping with Jewish law. The baby is circumcised and named on the eighth day. And everyone is going to name the baby after his father Zechariah. Imagine that. Elizabeth says, no, his name will be John. No, there's no one called John in your family. So they give Zechariah a writing tablet and he writes, his name is John. Verse 64. Hallelujah. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all the neighbors and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." You know, we talk about Zechariah. First of all, he didn't believe God. But over the course of 9 months, something began to change. Something began to stir deep within him, and he began to believe at some point. We don't know which point, but he began to believe. And that actually miraculously changed him. But here's what I want to say first about that. I actually love Zechariah's journey for this reason. And that's my third point. God allows time for belief and faith to form. That's what I love about that. That's what discipleship is about. Those who are searching for Jesus, we journey with them to allow faith and belief to form. See, God's not there condemning Zechariah, hey, you didn't believe, so I'm not going to come through for you now. He's not doing that at any point. Rather, God uses Zechariah's unbelief and he turns it around for something holy and good and dramatically changes. Verse 67, here it is again. Father, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied, saying. That's a dramatic change for Zechariah, being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's the theme again. So Zechariah begins to prophesy, and it's a very special prophecy. I'm not going to go into that. But I love to think how Zechariah grew in faith over the period of 9 months to a place where he experienced the grace of God that was outworked in God's purposes because he began to believe. Zechariah came to a place, finally this point, take God at his word. We need to take God at his word. And friends, I've heard this said before where God has, or other speakers have said something to the effect that our faith is like a muscle that we have to build, that we have to exercise. And the more we build and exercise that, the faith grows and grows and grows. And that's my little point tonight, is just let faith grow. This week, I don't know what you're facing this week, but let faith grow in the midst of it. Let belief rise up. Let it grow. Now let me ask the question for us tonight. Is what is God saying to you about your particular situation when it comes to faith, and what do you need to believe and trust God for? And perhaps I could just look at these four points that I've just shared tonight and just revisit those for us. And the first one, you remember, God uses anyone regardless of their social standing. You know, for some of us tonight, perhaps you need to hear that. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Maybe someone listening online. And when we see a brother or sister, do we see them through the eyes of Jesus as someone who has great potential? Do we see that with all our brothers and sisters around the world? The second one, let's keep calling people of all ages back to God, back to repentance. You notice some people take longer than others? Always. Is there one person this week that you need to call back to God? Maybe that person will just come to your mind right now. That third point, God allows time for belief and faith to form. If you've had times of unbelief or just not going full faith or whatever, can I just say, don't be too hard on yourself. We've all had those times. But ask for God's help, strength, and grace. And finally, take God at his word. Whatever promise we read in God's word, it's a sure thing, right? We can believe it. When we read God's word, it's a promise. Let's claim it because it's God's word. Amen? Yeah. Let faith grow. Three little words. Just tell someone tonight, I'm praying for your faith this way. Let it grow. Just tell someone. Quick. Let faith grow. Jesus' name. All right. You know, I want to finish with this tonight, and I am putting something out there in faith, but I really believe it in my heart. I was on a retreat last year down in beautiful Shoalwater. It's God's country down there. And I was having a break in a cafe, and I noticed just looking out the window, just some bird life just off the coast there at a place called Turn Island. It's just sort of an inlet, about 100 metres off the shore. As I kind of went down there, I investigated what was going on, and what I noticed was there's a lot of activity, a lot of different birds, and they were sort of flying out 50 metres and going straight into the water and plucking out fish and then coming back and then feeding their families, etc. And as I was watching that, it was like God was actually bringing those fish close to the shoreline. Like he actually helped them to come there so the birds could be fed, etc. And right in that moment, my heart quickened with the words, prepare for harvest. That was the word God gave me. Prepare for harvest. And I knew exactly, right in that moment, what he meant. Because if we read a little bit further down in Luke chapter 5, he says to Peter and the other disciples, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people. Friends, I believe in my heart of hearts that we are entering into a season of harvest for all of our churches. I want to trust God for that. I want to trust him for that. I want you to come along this journey where we trust God to raise up new believers and new disciples. Wendy is the first of many, I believe, at Swan Care. For us here, that is our business. And as Galatians 6 says, for us who have laboured so long in this arena, and a lot of us have, let us not give up. For at the right time, we'll reap a harvest. Come on, Lord. Friends, I think for us, it's time to believe. Let faith grow. It's time to believe and to go out into the harvest fields. We need to pray for that. Will you pray for that? Will you pray continuously for that week, this week, for all of our churches? We've got Bentley, we've got Carawarra, CCF and Hope, and Stirling and South Perth. Bull Creek. Yes. It was for emphasis, Mel. We were praying before, friends, and we were praying in our prayer time. Just the great privilege. Margaret read a scripture from Colossians, and I just was reminded we are citizens of heaven. How good is that? We're citizens of the Most High. Our citizenship is not here. It's temporary. Our citizenship is there. And I could not help but think, Lord, surely you want more citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Surely you want more people in the family of God. I just believe that. So friends, let our faith grow. Let it stir this week. Come on. Let the flow of the Holy Spirit come. Let him come with all his power in Jesus' name. Will you say amen to that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this great example of Zechariah for us in our time. And so, Lord, would you this week, would you do amazing things in our lives as we exercise great faith in Jesus? And Lord, I pray for each of us. Help us. I remember a prayer meeting while back as we were praying with the church planters, and Brian prayed a prayer, let us dream bigger and let us take more risks for Jesus. Now, Lord, would you open up the kingdom of heaven over our churches, and Lord, bring this harvest that you have in mind, that we might disciple well and encourage people to follow Jesus. To help us to this end, and we look forward to what you're going to do in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.